Look here at Psalms 119. I'm going to read verse 65. Psalms 119, verse 65. Thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according to thy word. Father, I thank you for this opportunity to preach, and Lord, I pray that you'd help me to rightly divide your word. Allow this message to encourage us and help us in our walk with you, and also be a reminder to us as believers of, Lord, we backslide. There is chastening that's coming. And I pray that our hearts would be open to take in the truth of your word. In Jesus' precious name, amen. The psalm is what you'll see in verse 65 down to verse 72. Again, every single word is the very words of God. And in this portion of Scripture, these eight verses, you'll see something about God's word is mentioned. In verse 65 is thy word. 66 is commandments. 67 is word. 68 is statutes. Verse 69 is precepts. Verse 70 is law. Verse 71 is statutes. And verse 72, where is it? The law of thy mouth, right? So you can see it's something here. God is trying to show us something in this word, the longest chapter in the Bible, and the importance of his word. And what you'll see is in this group of eight verses, there's something in the midst of them that God is trying to show us. And what we'll see in that is chastening. God's head of chastening. But as David, I believe it was David the psalmist that wrote this, starts off and says, thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according unto thy word. You think about David is starting off talking about the goodness of God, God's goodness. God promised him. He gave him a wonderful promise that David would be king, and gave him a wonderful promise that through his line that the Messiah would come. You think about how good God was. You think about how good God was to David, protecting him as the king of Israel was going against him, and there were others that hated him. God was good to him. God always kept his word. God was always true to his word, but always true to the promise that God gave to David. And it didn't matter what the devil tried to do. He could not undo the promise that God made. You know, in this life that we live in, not every day is going to be easy. Matter of fact, you're going to have trials in your life, and I'm going to have trials in my life. And sometimes the trials that can get us could be some hard trials that we go through. And it's very wise for you and me to find promises that's in this book to hold on to. God has given you promises in his word. And when you go through a trial, hold on to that promise. Take it and realize it's God giving you a promise to help you through something in your life. I think of that verse, I copied and pasted down. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You'll find that in Matthew 6, verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And in that chapter, at the end part of where our Lord mentioned this, what you'll see is he was talking about how he will provide. God will provide for your needs. He was talking about clothing, how God will provide. And you think about, he gave the example of Solomon. And however Solomon was arrayed, and I'm sure Solomon had the best, he says it's nothing compared to, you think about the fields that God created, the wild, when you look at the flowers. And what God is saying in this word is, he promised to take care of you. Now the key to that verse is the first part. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be. What God is telling you, he's giving you a promise. Put him first. Keep God first in your life. If you keep God first in your life, yes, you still need to do your part, right? Don't feel like you can just sit over there on the couch and do nothing and wondering why God's not going to take care of you. Well, you're not doing your part, right? But the reality is God is saying, if you put me first, I'll take care of you. Amen? God will supply your needs. Now, there's a difference between needs and wants. Amen. There's a difference between that, right? A need, you think about food, right? But food could be different things. I was joking around with your brother that's out in Oklahoma. He was telling me it was going to be 110 degrees, actual temperature there. And he was like, "I can't. My electric bill," he was saying, his electric bill was going to be so high. And he said, "But that's fine," because he didn't want, could you imagine 110 degrees, what the heat index would be? Good night, that would be so hot. And when I was joking back with him, and I told him, I said, "Yeah," I said, "Donnie," I said, "I'd rather eat a can of beans and be nice and cool than have a steak and sweat." Amen. Of just saying, get the AC running. I don't know if I could handle that. But the reality is, when God said he would provide a need, it could be a can of beans. It could be something else to sustain you, right? The protein that you need in your body. It doesn't mean that you're going to get a steak. It doesn't mean you're going to get a lobster. He will provide tofu, I guess, to you. Amen. But the reality is, what David has mentioned in tears, "Thou has been good, thou has dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according to thy word." God will never go against his promises. So when you realize that, and you go through the scripture and you find a promise, you don't take it out of context, right? But you can hold on to that promise because God made a promise to you, and you believe what God said and you hold on to it. God will always keep his word. So realize what David's saying and realize that's what God did. He gave up his word that ultimately we can trust him. And then he says this in verse 66. "Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments." Now, word judgment is an act of judging or act or process of mind in comparing its ideas to find their agreement or disagreement, right? It's based on you're examining things based on facts, right? It was kind of like today when someone was, we were going through trying to find, someone was asking for butter. And we went down and tried to find, or someone went down to look to try to find butter. And we used good judgment when we looked at it, and the date was past due, right? We use judgment and say, "Oh, we're just going to get rid of this," right? And you may do the same when you go to your refrigerator, you open it up, and there is a jug of milk. And you look at that milk, and that date of the milk is past due. It's expired. When I see milk and the date is expired, I don't even mess with it. It's gone. Amen? So the reality is, you think about judgment that there. You're making a judgment based on the fact. He's talking about making judgment, not on these things, but he's talking about making wise decision. That word knowledge is an act or state of knowing. A clear perception of facts or truth, right? So he says, "Teach me good judgment and knowledge." I want to know. David said, he says, "For I have believed thy commandments." God, David knew that the very words of God was the very words of God. He believed it. He knew that. He knew that it was truth. But he wanted to know more. He just didn't want to have head knowledge that's up here. He wanted to apply it to his heart. He wanted to understand what God was saying in his word, to be able to understand that, so that way he would make wise decisions. Can I tell you that, you think about this book, it's not just tiered so that way we'd read things and have knowledge. The reality is, God wants us to make wise decisions. So you put it into your heart, see what the Bible says, and then you make a decision based on what God said. If God says, "Hey, this is right," it's right. When God says, "This is wrong," it's wrong. Don't try to go through and justify your actions. Wrong is wrong. Right is right. And here it is. David is asking the Lord for this judgment. And he's asking the Lord for knowledge because he doesn't want to make a bad decision. If you don't want to make a bad decision, well, the reality is it's always wise to pray about something. It's always wise to search out what God's word says on that matter. If you search things out of God's word, and then you see what God says, then you apply it to your heart. And you won't make a bad decision. Well, that doesn't mean you won't make a bad decision, but if you follow what God said, you won't make the bad decision. Amen? If you're following. But look what he says here in verse 67 and verse 68. It's kind of, he's saying these things of, he wants to make good decision, but now we can see in the middle of this these verses that are here, something that happened to David. He says, before I was afflicted. That word afflicted talks about trouble, hardship, suffering. He says, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now have I kept thy word. Thou art good and doeth good. Teach me thy statutes. Here is the gist or the main point you can get out of these eight verses. So when you look at Psalms 119, they're all broken down into eight verses that are there. It's kind of like grouped together. Here it is. He's talking about making good judgment, making good decisions. He's talking about, you know, keeping God's word. But now we see in the midst of it, verse 67 and verse 68, David didn't always do that. We see a key. He says, before I was afflicted. Before he went into this trial, before he went into, where's that word again? Trouble, hardship, suffering. He said, I went astray. David, a man after God's own heart, was walking with the Lord. And then ultimately what happened? He started to turn and start going the wrong direction. And as David was walking that other direction, he was going astray. And as he was going astray, what happened? God chastened him. He had he was afflicted, right? He ended up in trouble. He ended up in a hardship. He ended up in suffering. Why did David have those things? Because he went astray. When I read the Bible in the Old Testament, and I come to David, my heart sometimes, I just break, and I feel so bad for David. And I read about his son. Remember his son, Absalom? Absalom was a son that rose up against him and tried to take over his kingdom. And ultimately, Absalom was the one that went in with the others that were there to try to kill David. And David and his men that were there, David was in his place. And ultimately, his son died. And as David's son Absalom died, David did not know. He told his people, he said, please be careful for my son. Be careful for him. That ultimately, as David was waiting in the hideout or in this place, a fortress, whatever it was, this place of hiding, he looks and he sees there was a man running to him. In those days, they would have messengers. And this man was running. He was a fast runner as he was coming. And the king looked and someone said, hey, there's someone that's coming that looks like this gentleman. And he says, oh, he's a good guy. He has good news. And then he looked and he said, there's another one that's coming. And he said, who is that? And they told him. He says, he's also with news. So as these men that came from a distance ran to David, and then he came there, the first one came to him, and he outran the other guy. He must have been extremely fast. He wasn't me, amen. And as he came to David, he tells David that there was a great victory that was there. And David, when he heard that, you could kind of read that his heart was fallen. And he asked the question, how about my son Absalom? He said, I don't know what was happening. You know, there were some things that were there. So he kind of pushed him to the side. He waited for the next messenger. And the messenger came there. And David said, how is my son? And he says, the enemies of the Lord, something like that, are destroyed. And what he told David, when David heard the king, he heard that your son is dead. And then David started to weep and cry and say, oh, Absalom, Absalom. His heart broke. Because I believe David knew that his son Absalom was in hell. And his heart broke and he was weeping that was there. But you know, David, because of some bad decisions he made, could have caused his son ultimately to make the decision of never accepting the Messiah. Oh, could I tell you, I think how hard it must have hurt David. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. There's some people that They are not living for God. They're Christians. They're bringing up children not in a godly home. And the reality is then their children are going to get of age and go out on their own. And then they finally get right with God. And it's almost like it's too late because now they're on their own. And their heart will be afflicted. That doesn't mean God can't change hearts and God can't reach people. But what we see is here, David is saying, when I went astray, then I suffered. I went through these things. He says this. He says, but now have I kept thy word. What was it? David learned through the chastening. David got a spanking from God. Not physically, but he got a spanking from God. And what was it? That ultimately he learned the lesson. He says, thou art good and doeth good. Teach me thy statutes. That's the goal of chastening. When God chastens us, there's a reason for that. What's that mean? You are going the wrong direction. And God chastens us to get us to go the right direction. It's similar, you think about it as a young person, right? Your parents and your young person. If your child is acting up, spank them. Amen? Allow them to learn. To say, hey, there's a chastening. Now, they may not think it's joyful, but the reality is it brings a good after. Look what the Bible says over here about that in the book of Hebrews. In the book of Hebrews, I think it's, I think I wrote it down here. Hebrews chapter 12. In Hebrews chapter 12, so what David was going through, he was explaining, was the chastening that God gave him. And what was it? He suffered hardship, but now he's keeping God's word. Now he sees the good, but he didn't see it at the beginning. Look what the Bible says here in Hebrews chapter 12. In Hebrews chapter 12, if you look down here, verse 5. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scorneth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, that's what David was going through. God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? And if ye be without chastisement, where are all partakers, then you are bastards and not sons. What he's saying is, if you walk away from God, and God does not chasten you, then the reality is you are not God's. There's people that claim to be Christians, and they live any which way they want to, and they're never chastened by God. They're not God's. All they are is, they are Christian in name. They don't have a possession. And that's what the Bible is telling us here. Verse 9, furthermore, when we had our fathers of our flesh, which corrected us, we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and life? And for they barely for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure. But he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, right? When my dad spanked me, I was never like, boy, this is great. I didn't like it, right? He says, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards, it yieldeth the peaceful fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. When God chastens me, I don't like it when I'm going through it. But the reality is, after I finally repent and get right with God, I realize God did it for my good. God did it because he loved me. My dad chastened me. Why? Because he loved me. He wanted to help me. He was saying, son, you're going in the wrong direction. Right? So anyway, what we see is that's what David was saying. If you go back here to Psalms 119, David was chastened by God. David went astray. David was chastened. And then what? David got right. And now David has a desire to do what's right. Amen? Look back here to Psalms 119. I think I can finally feel that AC kicking in a little bit. Amen? I feel a little cooler air. You feel it a little bit, Julian? You don't feel it? Well, I feel it. I think it's finally getting there. Amen? Psalms 119. Keep it up. I'll preach for like five more hours. It's nice and cool. So I'm joking. But look over here, the Psalms 119 down to verse 69 and verse 70. It says, "The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep keep thy precepts with my whole heart. Their heart is fat as grease, but I delight in thy law." Now, I got this from, there's a commentary out there, it's called Understanding, from Spurgeon, it's called Treasury of David. And Charles Spurgeon wrote this, "They delight in fatness, but I delight in thee. Their heart, though sensual indulgence, have grown insensible corpse. But if thou hast saved me from such a fate through thy chastening hand..." Proud men grow fat through cardinal luxuries and thus make themselves prouder still. So when we see this fat, you know, we may think of it as something a little bit different. In those days, that was because they were enjoying the luxuries, right? That's what he's referring to, luxuries. And here was these people who were kind of telling David, like, "David, what are you doing? You're saying that you want to serve God and do these things." And they were going against David and saying, "David, that ain't good, right? Look at what we got, David. Look at the luxuries we got. It's worth it, right?" And that's what he's referring to here. He says, "But I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart, but I will delight in thy law." David realized those things that the world has to offer is nothing compared to the joy and peace that God can give within. The happiness, the true happiness that God can give. This world can't give you happiness. This world can never satisfy what you need in your heart. Only Jesus can do that. And here it is, as David is saying these things and people are going against him, and David's like, "Hold on, let me tell you, I've been chastened by God and it's not worth it. I'm not going down that path again because I want to live for God." Now, it doesn't mean that David always did what was right, but that was his desire. David had a desire that he wanted to do what is right. Let me ask you, is that your desire today? Is that your desire? You really just want to serve God? Or is your desire for the things of the world? Amen? As in living for the flesh. I'm not talking about owning things or whatever, but I'm talking about giving in to the flesh. If your desire is to give in to the flesh, I'm talking about sinful things, you'll never be satisfied. Yes, people will say, "Look at the luxuries that you may have," but you can't take that to heaven. I know some people that's what they do. They live that people can say, "Wow, look at their lives." You know? They may go to the best parties and do all these things. But there's no happiness. There's no joy. They're miserable. Why? Because those things can't satisfy. I don't know if you heard about that, but there was a famous chef that recently died. What was her name? She had like spike hair. Anne. Her name, Chef Anne. And Chef Ann recently died. She was, I guess, on Food Network. I don't know for how many years she had her own show on Food Network. And a lot of people recognize her if they watched that show. I'm sure she was very, very well off. I'm sure she was probably a multimillionaire or more. But she recently died. She killed herself. And, you know, the sad thing is this. You know, it breaks my heart. But the reality is this. Money does not bring you happiness. Living in luxury is not going to bring happiness. Amen? My heart breaks, you know, think of that family. It's thinking, "Oh, how sad that is." But there's people in this world, they'll do that. They'll try to live for the things of the world, but it doesn't bring happiness. And that's what David is saying. The devil is trying to get me that, no, I'm not turning. Look here at verse 71. The Bible says, "It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes." Now look what David wrote here through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. David is now saying it was good for him that he had the hardship, that he had the suffering, that he had to trial. Why? Because David learned to keep God's word. David knows where he is now spiritually and realized he was thinking, you know, if I would have continued this path, what could have happened? Even though he didn't see it good as the time, but now he does. That is the true result of chastening if we just listen. Some people just keep on fighting God. It's weird, right? God's chastening someone and they're having, they're going through afflictions, hardship, these sufferings. Again, not all these things can be because you're outside of God's will. Sometimes God allows them into our life to strengthen us. But here it is, someone that's suffering these things and they won't get right with God. They won't turn around, and they are some of the most miserable people. Miserable. Why? Because they won't get right. And when you get around him and try to talk to him, it's like, whoa, David realized it and said, you know what? I'm the one that did this. I'm the one that brought this chastening hand. God told me what I would get, and I didn't believe him. I got it. And now he's to the place in his life, he's going the right direction, and he looks back at the chastening that God did, and he says, hey, it was good. Because if God didn't chasten him, imagine how much further David would have went away. There's the true result of what God wants in chastening. When God chastens your life, he doesn't do it so that way he can chasten you again. His desire is that you never do it again. And the reality is then you have that peace and joy, that happiness. And David saw that. Always realize that when God is chastening you, there is a reason. And the best thing to do is repent and allow God to work through you. Allow God to strengthen you. God's not going to just chasten you if there's no reason, right? Now, this may be hard. I mean, Ariana's older now, 15 years old, right? But every time I had to correct Ariana and give her a spanking, I know that would be hard for you to imagine that Ariana got a spanking, But every time I gave her a spanking, do you know, it wasn't because of me, it was because of her, right? You just finally got it, right?
I can't believe it.
Yeah. She deserved every single one of them, right? Every single one of them. But you know what the blessing is now? Because it was a hardship, So, but I'm just teasing. So, well, sometimes it was. But you know what the blessing was of those things? Is the joy it brings today. Yeah? We don't have, some things, I'm not going to try to embarrass her anymore. But what I'm saying is, there's good, right? That she can have peace and joy that's in her heart, right? That's what David is saying. If I think of my life, the reality is I was just too dumb and stubborn. That my dad would try to correct me, and I just, it was kind of like I was fighting it. Blah! And I didn't listen. And the reality is, I look back now and think, why was I so dumb? Why didn't I listen? It could have stopped the hardships that I went through. David got the message. And what do we see here? He realizes it was for good. And then look here at verse 72. It says, the law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. David now sees the true value of God's word. It doesn't mean that he didn't see it at that time. But when he went astray, he forgot about it. He didn't see God's word as value as he did now. And now he sees it of that. You imagine thousands of gold and silver? You imagine having a bar of gold? I don't know how much a bar of gold is. It's probably about $30,000. But you imagine having 30,000 bars of silver or 30,000 bars of gold? The value of that. And David said, all of the gold, you think about it, you have gold. You imagine gold that would fill up this church building, the value of that. It would break the floor. It would go down. It would be stacked up. David said, this Bible is worth more than gold that can fill this church building.
Amen.
It's of more value. That's what he's saying. He says, the law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. These things of gold and silver, you know, maybe I'll buy things, but it can't give me the joy. It can't give me the peace. It can't bring the happiness. It brings hardship. That your gold, this gold can't not teach me judgment. Can't give me knowledge. Can't give me wisdom. He says, the law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. I mean, do you understand the importance of this very book? This is the very words of God. If you want to have affliction, let's just start going astray. And God will chasten you if you're His child. But if you are a child of God and you're walking, then can I tell you, God has given you a manual, this Bible, that will help you in life. This instruction book here will help you for every single thing that you run into. Every single trial, every single decision, you can go to this book and find biblical principles that will help you. It is of greater value than all the gold that's in the world. This book is precious. And unfortunately, in this psalm, it took David to go through a little chastening. And then getting back on track for him to realize and say, you know what? Nope, I get it now. I knew it. I forgot about it. But I know it again that this book is so precious to me. Is this book precious to you? Father, I thank you for this opportunity to preach and teach. And Lord, I pray that this message is a help and a blessing. Pray it would be a reminder to us the importance of your word. And Lord, I also pray, Lord, that we would spend time reading it, applying it to our heart, holding on to the promises you have given us. Lord, those times that we walk away or backslidden, and Lord, that you chasten us, I pray that we'd learn quickly. And then we would see why you did that chastening. And Lord, that we would make it right and do our best to not do it again. I pray that you give us safety as we travel home, and I just pray that your hand of blessing be upon these people. And we ask in Jesus' precious name, amen.